Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us.
In some countries around the world, sharing the gospel is completely forbidden.
Practicing Christianity in these countries is illegal, and participants could face fines, imprisonment, beatings, or even death.
Our special guest today is Don McLafferty, who knows from personal experience how every moment matters when you risk your life to spend time in these countries.
Yes, Don has witnessed firsthand how the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and rescues them.
Don, thank you for joining us on It Is Written Canada today.
I'm excited to be here again.
So Don, God has called you into countries where sharing the gospel is prohibited.
Yes.
You can't preach about Jesus. You can't even admit that you're a Christian. And no Bibles are allowed. So can you tell us how God led you into one of these closed countries?
Absolutely. While I was living in Canada, actually, I got an invitation to go to one of these countries. And so my wife and I prayed about it earnestly, because when we heard that Bibles are illegal, I thought, wow, I can't even take my Bible on this. And I had to be honest with my wife and say, if I'm caught making disciples for Jesus, it won't go well with me. It will be first to prison, and then probably torture, and then probably, you know, lose my life, off with my head. So, and that's not being overdramatic, that's just the truth. So we really prayed as a couple and could not deny the fact that God was calling. And so I sent off the paperwork, necessary paperwork, to that embassy of that country, and waited in Alberta, Canada, where we lived at the time, and said, God, we need this visa. And it didn't come, it didn't come. And I thought, well, is this an answer? Maybe God is saying, don't go after all. I was really kind of baffled about the timing. Finally, just maybe 2 weeks before the trip, it comes. Oh, I'm so excited. I rip it open and I say, April, it came, it came. And I look at it and I, like, my face just fell. I was like, I can't believe this. They have my name, not just misspelled with a letter or two, but it was so misspelled I couldn't even recognize my name. And I thought, this is not going to work. How can I get into this country with such a thing? Because they'll compare it with my passport, of course, and they'll say, this is not a match. So I told April, I said, I'm going to go out into the forest. And I said, God, I said, here's the situation. You know it already, but I'm presenting to you my case. And the situation is, you've called me to go to this country, and we prayed as a couple, and I know you're calling me to go, but this visa is not going to work. And I waited on God, and I said, so what do I do? And that still small voice of God said to my mind and to my heart, Don, this visa is not what's going to get you into this country. I'm going to get you into this country. And by the way, I kissed and hugged my wife and held her so tight before I went on this trip, and the same for the kids, because I did not know, honestly, if I'd ever return. And I landed into that country. My heart was beating like this. And I thought, oh, I know what they're going to do with my visa. They always hold it up and they compare it with my passport and they look at my face in between and see if it all matches. And so I waited in my long line, went up, and my heart's just racing like this. And the man behind the desk says, next. And I come up and passport, visa, I hand it to him. And he does exactly what I knew he was going to do. He holds it up just like this, and he's seeing my face, you know, in the line, standing there, and he's going like this, back and forth. Now, he sees that visually there's a match, so there's no problem there. But I know he's comparing the terrible name on the visa, terribly misspelled, with my passport. And he's going back and forth, back and forth. It seems like hours, but I know it's only seconds. And I'm waiting there. And I try to give him the biggest smile. And then I know God intervened, because there's no way he should have said, you know, you're fine. He looks at me and he gives me the biggest smile and he says, welcome to our country, like this. And so I said, and I tried not to be surprised. I said, well, thank you so much. That's wonderful. I'm happy to be here. And I went marching right in.
So God did take care of that situation.
Absolutely. Yes, he got me in.
So there was another country that, not the same country, where it was also dangerous, and you were training God's people, but your life was at risk. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. You know, there's so many countries that are restricted against the gospel. It's not just a few, it's many, many, many countries. So I had another invitation to go to that country, and I got into the country, okay. It wasn't anything too scary other than that my contact person never showed up for about an hour, hour and a half. And so I was trying to think about what to do. And the police in the airport are watching for people that are strays, you know, the people that are not supposed to be there. And I can see they were coming in closer and closer because I wasn't moving and I was a foreigner. I didn't look like the people in that country. And they're coming closer and closer. And I said, God, my contact person hasn't come yet. He was a believer that I had seen before. I'd been to this country before. And I watched the time, half an hour, hour goes by. And the police are literally, you can watch them as their suspicion rises. They're closing in. They have a ring of them. And I said, God, what do I do? This is all silent prayers, of course. And he told me what to do. And I said, really, God? That counsel seems too far out of bounds for me. Stronger, he said, do what I've told you to do. So I got the biggest smile on my face, marched up at his command, at God's command. I marched right up to the officer in charge of all of those men. And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I am so delighted to be in your country. I have a habit of wherever I go around the world, I like to get a postcard for my wife and for my children and send them postcards with a beautiful picture of your country. But I don't speak the language here in this airport, and I don't know where these are, and what can I do? And immediately the man did some kind of secret signal, and immediately I was surrounded in a tight group with all of his officers. I was thinking, God, was this a good idea? And he said, men, this foreigner here wants postcards. And he went, please, quickly, go out across the airport and help this man find his postcards. And so he had all the officers that were closing in on me working to help me. And so they did, and they helped me find postcards. Just about then, as I found my postcards, here comes my contact person. And he came in and he just signaled with his eyes and let me know that I need to follow him at a distance. And we got into the country fine. But that was a little heart stopper there for a bit.
Oh, yes.
So we get into where the believers were meeting. And they told me, they said, now things have changed since you were last here. The government has a huge camera that is mounted on our gates. And it's pointing right down to where anybody that enters in where our little church is, they can see who comes and goes. They allow us to have a church in this setting, but it is highly monitored by the government and they don't want any new people coming. And they certainly don't want foreigners teaching us more. And so they said, here's your command. And when you walk in this time on your visit, you cannot turn around. They don't need to see your face full on in the camera. So I got out that way, got my luggage, and the sun was just going down. Isn't that perfect timing? So it's kind of a little bit dark. And I got into their church and I began the training the very next morning, early in the morning, 6 a.m. They were praying for the Holy Spirit and they were packed into that room. And then after praying for the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and to give us the love of Jesus for believers, for unbelievers, everything went well in the training as I trained them to disciple their children for Jesus. Day one went fine, two, three, four, several days went fine. And then one morning, I was right in the middle of the training when someone came in, like this, just shouting at the top of their lungs. And I saw total chaos in this peaceful setting. And I noticed that the older people in the room, some of them immediately got to their knees and started weeping before God because of the announcement. And I said, someone tell me what was announced. And they said, right now, right below our room where we're meeting with you, where you're training us, is our kitchen. And right now, two secret police are there and they're questioning the cooks. Why all this food? Why do you need this food in the middle of this week? And they're being questioned right now. And furthermore, someone has tipped them off that you are here. And so I said, so what do I do? And he said, everybody must pray. We need to intercede right now that God intervenes. And Then after a little bit, that same man came in a little bit more calmly and he said, they're gone. I said, oh, good. Everything's fine? This is all through a translator. Well, not exactly. They said, we know that you have someone illegally teaching you more about Jesus here. We know it. But because we're such a kind government and so magnanimous to our people, we're going to give you a generous offer. You take care of him over the weekend. And then when we come back, we're going to search all your premises. We'd advise you that he should not be anywhere on your premises ever again. The secret police gave the believers a big smile, like we're so generous, and they walked away. I said, well, do you want me to leave? Obviously, I'm causing you a risk. Oh, they said, we have come at great cost in every way, financially and risk and everything. We are desperate to learn how to disciple our children for Jesus Christ. You must continue to train us. Well, when are they coming back? We think, as we've prayed about it, we think that they will not come back until Monday morning. Really? Well, they could also surprise us at any time. Well, what should I do? I asked them. We want you to start early in the morning and we'll pray for the Holy Spirit every morning as we're doing. Then you must train us all through the day. And then you must train us all through the night, as long as you can until you need to rest. And we are going to pray for your strength. And so all day Friday and all day Saturday Sabbath, we trained all through the time, all day Sunday. So we trained early in the morning till supper time. We broke for meals. And then as long as I could go into the night, I would preach. And God gave us power and strength to do it. So finally, it was Monday morning. And the believers gathered and met me once again. And they said, we're quite sure, as we prayed about this, that they're going to come and inspect our property this morning. I said, oh, should we not have the early morning prayer time? Do you want me just out of the way? They looked at me with shock. Stop the prayer time? They said through their own language. And I said, well, do you want me to go off site? They, no. They said, you lead us in revival, call us to revival with Jesus like every morning. And we'll tell you when you need to leave. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, we had that prayer time just like any other day. And I want to ask you, what would you do if you knew that secret police would be coming any moment? Wouldn't it be hard for you to gather your friends and loved ones and to pray?
Yeah. There would be this sense of urgency, like you're hanging on a string is going to be cut at any moment.
Yes. Yes. And so we had that prayer time. It was precious, more precious than usual, because we did not know if we'd ever meet again. We did not know what was about to happen. And then right up before, I think it was 7 o'clock or so, the believers stood up and came around me and they prayed for me. This was emotional to me because they said, we don't know what's about to happen, but you need to follow us now. It is time for you to go. So I started to walk out the door, and there's windows on this corridor outside the door where you can see down to the street. And they said, oh, we're so we're horrified to tell you this, but you need to get down, down, down. You need to crawl across the floor because we don't want anybody to see you out there. And so I went down on my hands and knees, and they said, lower. They said, crawl across, and we'll do the same. We don't want anybody to see even a wisp of a shadow or anything going across. And so we're going like this across, and we got across, and they said, follow us. And we went up, up, up in a maze of hallways. And they pushed me into a little room, and they gathered other believers around me to pray with me so I wouldn't be alone while the secret police would be coming. And there we waited, and we prayed, and we waited, and prayed. Now they said, Don, at some point, we're either going to have the secret police knock at this door searching for you. We know they're going to be looking for you. Or believers could come and say that the coast is clear, you know, it's fine. But because you don't know and we don't know who's going to be the one knocking at the door, do not go to the door when there's a knock. I thought that was a pretty simple command. But you know, as the time stretched, half an hour, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, it's several hours in a little tiny room with believers, I was starting to get antsy to move. And when there was a knock at the door, I was so excited to get out of there because I'm a man that has to move, that I went for the door, and they whispered, they hissed at me, and said, "Pastor Don, get back here," they said in their own language. And I said, "Oh, that's right." So I tiptoed back and I said, "What should I do?" And the knocking was more insistent. And I know my heart was going like this. And they said, "See this little cubby hole? You know, like a little tiny door?" And they said, "Here." And they opened up and they stuffed me in there. I could barely fit, like a little tiny room. And they stood in front of it and they waited. And then I heard footsteps and the door open and my heart is racing like this. And Mike, I literally was wondering if the next thing that I would feel is a big hand that would reach out and grab me by the shoulder. I mean, I didn't know what was gonna happen. And so I prayed and prayed and I said, "God, help me to be faithful even if I'm taken off to prison. Just help me to be faithful." I can't describe to you two things. That I can't describe to you the heart racing moment, but I also can't describe to you how sweet is the presence of Jesus, even in those times. My natural humanness was, of course, had fear, but then also I could tell Jesus was with me. And so he just calmed me down and I waited. And pretty soon the footsteps came right to the door. And then I heard it turning and the little door opened and a hand came out and said, "Don, come out." Well, I still don't know if this is good or bad news. I don't know if the believers are just being used by the police to get me. I come out and I look at their faces. I'm trying to see, can I get some hint? Are we safe or not? And they said, "It's okay now. Follow us." We went all the way back down to the room. And again, there was just such an array of emotions. Some of the older people were weeping again, tears of joy. Because they have lived through these times many, many times. They had known how serious it was. The young people did not know how serious it was. And so some people were almost dancing for joy. Some people were weeping before God, like, "Thank you, God, that we are okay. Not just only Pastor Don, but that we're all able to be here." And I said, "What happened? What happened? Did they not come at all? Maybe it was just a false scare?" They said, "Oh, no, it wasn't a false scare." And then they told me through a translator, they said, "Pastor Don, you left just before there was a knock at our door. And those two secret police, bearing all the authority of state, came in walking very proudly. And they walked in, and these are mighty men. All they have to do is make one little call, and the place could be swarming, with officers." And they came in, and they said, "We had turned the room upside down to make it look not like a training that you would do, because I do interactive style training, but more like a traditional style that we would do in our country. And we were trying to hold a government meeting and trying to do our best to not cause suspicion." And the two police came in and they started looking up and down the rows, up and down. And I broke into their conversation and I said, "Were they looking for me?" They said, "Oh, yes, they were obviously looking for you. They were looking for one face in the whole room, the large room, that didn't fit in. They were looking for you. They had been tipped that a foreigner from North America was here somewhere." So they looked up and down the rows, up and down the rows, and their eyes kept on going further and further back in the room, and they kept searching intently, face by face. And they got to the very back of the room, and they were looking like this, and all of a sudden, they went like this, and their faces turned white. And fear came across their faces. And they looked, and then they turned around, did an about face, and they marched right out of the room, and they never came back. Never came back.
I wonder what they saw.
Who do you think they saw? Let me ask you.
I'm thinking God's angels were there.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that God's angels were there. And I believe someday when Jesus comes again, we tell more stories. I think he's gonna have fun, great delight, telling about how he loved hearing all those believers pray so that he could be invited to send those angels right there at just the perfect moment.
Praise the Lord.
You know, Don, I'm just in awe how God has perfect timing.
Yes.
His timing is perfect.
Yes.
Can you tell us about another time that God's timing was perfect for you and for the situation while you were traveling on an airplane?
Absolutely. You know, it's so easy, and you travel on the airplane a lot too. It's so easy to just travel and kind of zone out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just think, I'm in between mission. And God continually reminds me, Don, you're not ever in between mission. You're always on mission. So I was on this long flight, and I was praying, and I said, God, I said, who's on this plane that I need to share Jesus with or and pray with? And God led me to notice the flight attendants and to care for them. So I reached into my bag and found some of my little books to give as gifts. And I went back, and I was praying for just the right time. I went back to the middle of the plane, and it was a big center for them to gather. This was a large plane, and I think it was a double-decker too. And anyway, I talked to the head of all the flight attendants, and I said, I have a gift for all of your team. Could I give my new book to your team? And she was delighted. And of course, the flight attendants had all kinds of different faith backgrounds, or no faith at all, but she gathered them. And I gave them the book. And I was thinking, okay, that's enough. I don't want to overdo it. And I was getting ready to turn back to my chair and my seat, and the Holy Spirit said, offer to pray with them. And so I said, may I pray with you? They were very startled, and pretty soon we had a prayer meeting there on the plane. Well, this happened in different sectors of the plane. This is a huge plane. So I had this happen with different people on the plane, the passengers, with flight attendants, and the flight had been amazing that way. Many, many, many divine appointments. So now the flight was nearing home, and I was settling back in, and that still small voice said, do you think everyone here knows Jesus? And I thought, no, not everyone knows, but I sure have had a wonderful time on this flight sharing you. And he said, why don't you ask me if there's one more? So I said, okay, so God, is there one more that you want me to pray with? And he said, yes, there is. And I said, well, who would that be? And he said, notice that flight attendant coming towards you that has served you. He was a very serious young man, and he didn't seem to be very friendly, but he was very professional in what he did. And he was doing a fine job. And he said, go and ask him how you can pray for him and let him know that God loves him a lot. I thought, I have had no indication from him that he would be open to such a thing at all, such a conversation. It was not friendly. There's no openness. You know, his face seemed closed to me. You know what I mean? Just closed to any such conversation. Stronger. The Holy Spirit said, go find him. Right then, over the loudspeaker came the voice, and now buckle up and don't leave your seats because we are soon going to be landing. And I said, well, Lord, I said, that's obviously not the right time to go now. I am so sorry. And I was kind of settling back in. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I was thinking, maybe I'm off the hook. And because it was an uncomfortable thing to do. And God said, go now. And I said, they just gave the announcement, God. How can I go now? Everybody's going to look at me like a fool because we're supposed to stay in our seats. And just as I was arguing with God, stronger across the loudspeaker, as people were still standing, please, passengers, everyone needs to be in their seat. Oh, I thought it's the worst time to stand up. And finally, praise God, I gave in to God. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And I started walking towards where I just saw up ahead, the young man had taken the curtain, you know, and closed it. And that's, of course, a signal to passengers, don't disturb me. I'm doing the final preparations for landing, you know. And so I went up there and I opened the curtain like this. And everybody's like, oh, what's he doing? You know, was I about to cause trouble on the plane? Everybody was looking at me suspiciously. It was not fun. And the young man looked at me startled, and he said, sir, you need to be back in your seat. I said, I know, but I need to tell you, God loves you so much, and how can I pray for you? His face went white. He was shocked. And he said, what? I can't believe that you would come and tell me that God loves me and that you would ask me how you can pray for me. He said, I used to believe in God. I really did. But bad things have happened in my life, discouraging things have happened, and I've given up on this living God. I've given up on Him totally. But I haven't had peace about that. at all. And I was just literally praying one more time seconds ago, and I was pleading with God, God, if you're really there, do something on this flight right now to show me that you see me and that you love me and that you care. And so I prayed with him, and the young man was shaken to his core, as he should have been, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords did love him and does love him, and showed him just in the nick of time before we landed a message he needed to hear.
He was obviously pleading with God, show me that you're real.
Yes.
And that you are here.
Yes.
And at that time that he was pleading with God, God was saying to you, now.
Yes.
Go now.
Yes.
You know, and even though it was the last announcement, refrain from using the washroom, we're gonna land.
Yes.
You listened. And you obeyed, and God gave you that opportunity.
Yes, amen.
Dawn, we've come to the end of our time, but there are people who are listening who need to hear the same message. And can you pray for them right now that they will hear him telling them, you can believe,
yes,
you can trust me, I love you.
Yes, amen. Dear God in heaven, right now out there, there is someone who also has silent tears before your throne, pleading with you. God, if you're out there, please do something to show me you love me, that you see my tears, that you care about me. Be with those that are silently crying out to you right now. And also give us as believers the urgency of you, God, to go when you send us and to love the people you call us to love, and to care for the people you tell us to care for, and to pray with those you tell us to pray with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We would like to offer you a gift, and it is Pastor Dawn McLafferty's book, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder.
Dawn's true stories and testimonies will encourage you to trust God more fully and completely.
We trust that our gift to you, Pastor Dawn's book, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder, will inspire you to live by faith and not by sight alone.
Before you go, we would like to thank all of you who have supported the ministry of It Is Written Canada with your prayers and financial contributions. Without your support, this television ministry could not have reached so many people for so many decades.
Yes, thank you. And we would also like to invite you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also listen to our podcasts. And if you go to our website, you can see our latest programs.
You too can experience the fullness of life finding the words of Jesus when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
If you would like to watch a video of this podcast, please visit iiw.ca. Thank you so much for listening.